Welcome to ReChurch. I'm Marshall Fant, the Director of Church Consulting and Strategic Planning for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. My purpose is to encourage pastors and church leaders as you refocus, renew, and revitalize your churches. We've established this podcast to offer practical tips and suggestions as you equip disciples to make disciples.
Marshall Fant, welcome back to GFA Missions ReChurch. So glad to have you joining us either on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. We have a dear friend back in the ministry, back who involved in the ministry today. So Corey Fafi, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So Corey and I actually met, we got to know each other on the golf course, right? So I think that was the beauty of a conference we were in.
That was in Florida.
Yeah, awesome. It was in Florida, and it was good, and so really we have a same purpose to support churches, to support church leaders, to support missionaries, and he's got a very unique ministry, and I'm gonna let him tell you about that. Before he does that, I think it's interesting. So he's in Wisconsin, and he's an accountant by trade. But tell us your life verse. We were just talking about this because the verse means so much to me as well.
Oh, excellent. Yes. 2 Corinthians 5:9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Amen. And I like to think that until the Lord brings me home, that I will labor to bring pleasure to him.
Amen. All right. So now let's give background. All right. For those who may not know Brother Fafi, so for years you were business department at Maranatha. Is that right? Maranatha Baptist University?
Yes. I was a dean of the School of Business.
All right. And you also are a CPA by trade.
That's right.
So when I have a church that we're working with that's either in trouble or have questions, so I send them directly to Corey. So he is a great resource. People need to know about you. So tell them a little about your burden and why you started Ministry CPA and what you all do.
Yes. So there are 16 of us here in the firm in southern Wisconsin, and we're pleased to be able to serve about 300 ministers and missionaries around the world, another 300 between churches and Christian nonprofits. So that is our love. And we've been able to do this from, for 30 some plus years, from next to nothing of just a couple of folks we're serving. And now we're able to serve about 1,200 really by and large Christian businesses, but also all the ministers and missionaries that we just love these people and try to help them improve their financial stewardship.
Amen. So you retired from Maranatha, and this you do this full time now, right?
That's right.
Remember that, right? Okay. So, I guess there needs to be a go-to guy, and we're not here to tell you to leave your accountant and go to Corey. That's not the purpose of this. But he is somebody that we trust, that I trust. So, and so today's topic is this, and I asked Corey to address it. So we're recording this at the end of September, 2025. And we know what's coming. Churches are doing budgets, and there's something called a pastor's housing allowance or a clergy housing allowance or whatever that the topic of that is. So, Corey, if you would, just tell us a little bit. So how did we even get this? I mean, you've got a great little history on this so we can understand kind of where we are today. So if you would just introduce it with the background of this act.
Right. So it actually started in 1921, called the 1921 Revenue Act, which said that ministers could live in the church's parsonage and not have to pay income tax on the value.
Okay.
So that was where it started. Basically, it was a benefit to churches and their parsonage and having a parsonage.
All right. And then from there?
From there, we moved through history. Honestly, it's kind of an interesting history if you're a geeky accountant like us. So in 1935, of course, Social Security came along, did not subject that to Social Security tax. In the 50s, it was decided that no, ministers' wages should be subject to Social Security tax. And there was some compromising going on at that point where, there was concern about that. And so they made the option for some ministers, if they had a conscientious objection, they could opt out of it.
Right.
And a few have done that, wise or unwise. You could go either way on that, of course. In the 2000s now, the last 25 years, there's been a couple of challenges to the constitutionality of the housing allowance.
Right.
They've been unsuccessful in the end in Warren versus the commissioner. Yes, Rick Warren. The Ninth Circuit said that the housing allowance was unconstitutional. Mm. Well, Congress came out with the 2002 Clergy Clarification or Housing Clarification Act, which put it back in place. And then we've had some Freedom From Religion Foundation challenges to the constitutionality in 2019. It was a unanimous court decision saying, no, it's constitutional that Congress would allow this. And so that's kind of a history.
Yeah,
of Pennsylvania doesn't allow it.
Really?
That's truth. Wow. But otherwise, it saves income tax. No Social Security tax, though. That's the surprise to some ministers, is that they still owe full Social Security tax on their housing allowance.
All right, so let's talk about those that are eligible. Okay, so we know that. So let me ask this. So who is eligible to take a housing allowance?
Right. That's good. Important clarification, because it's basically licensed and ordained ministers who are performing what the IRS calls, in the exercise of their ministry, they really mean sacerdotal duties. So what we see the distinction of, let's take a youth pastor, because that's one of our more common examples. A youth pastor who would be Mary Berry baptized Lord's Table, they're considered a full minister, subject and available to all the, all these features are available to them in housing allowance.
Okay.
The youth director, common title in many of our churches, who is not a licensed or ordained minister and really would not be the one to Mary Berry baptized Lord's Table.
Right.
Is not a minister, not eligible for housing allowance because of that classification.
Okay, so I think you hit it pretty heavy. I mean, pretty clearly. I don't mean heavy, clearly. So if you're ordained or licensed and you do the ordinances and Mary and Barry and however you worded that, that's very good. Okay, if you do those things, then you're eligible, right?
Correct.
Okay, all right. Now, let me ask you this, because I'm showing my age. So you have a pastor that is retired and is not actually not receiving a salary from a church, and he's either receiving some kind of retirement and he's still living in his home. Is he eligible for housing allowance or not?
There's a couple of very interesting revenue rulings that talk about that, and they're dating back to the 70s that said that a church plan that provides, and that's as much as they defined it, a church plan, the definition of it, if the church will designate that distributions from that retirement plan in retirement are housing, then to the extent that the minister still has housing expenses, of course, hoping not to have a mortgage anymore,
right?
But those are no income tax on those distributions.
But that would have to be declared by the church who paid his retirement. Is that right? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Right. We often give to our church clients a kind of a format that they can use for a resolution that would set that. And we would say designate that 100% are designated as housing, and then the minister is responsible to keep track of his expenses.
Got it. Okay. So now I think you've let's go through. I think you've done a great job in your summary you sent me, which we can post on our show notes, okay, if that's okay with you. So let's talk about the calculation. So one of the things you make it very clear that it's done by the church in advance, not retroactive. Okay, so Corey, unpack that for us.
Right. So this is part of that 2002 Housing Allowance Clarification Act that put those three parameters in place. Number one, the church has to formally designate it. And some churches will have that in their annual meeting. Really, it just needs to be an officer of the church. Technically, we believe that even the treasurer, as long as it's done formally in advance of the payments to the pastor, It will work. We like to see it in writing. We like to actually see, like, say, a deacon board or an elder board that would have a motion and a second, and Carrie just really locks it in place. So that's the designation part.
Good. All right. So can that be done along with, let's say, an elder deacon board's passing a budget? Could they just make this a addendum to the budget, so the budget's going to reflect this, and do it all at one time? Can that be handled that way?
It can be handled that way. Honestly, from the church's standpoint, the person sitting in the pew, they want to know that their pastor is taken care of well financially.
Right.
And the breakdown between how much of their compensation is housing is really not that important to the church member. So we would say it's not necessary to put it in front of the entire church on a budget sheet.
Right.
But
But internally in a deacon or elders meeting, you could there, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And that would make it official. So does this, I heard at one time this had to be read to the church publicly. So what you're saying is that's not true.
That's not correct.
Good. Okay. Well, that helps clarify that. All these rumors. So again, so let me say this for those listening. The two questions I'm going to ask at the very end, okay, Corey, what are the most confusing or misunderstood points, and where do you see the pastor making the most mistakes? Okay. So for those listening, that's where we're going. All right. But we got some details to work through this. And maybe I just love talking about this is the reason I'm going to pick Corey's brain so much on this. So anyway, that's where we're going. Okay. So let's talk about this. All right, so we talked about designation by the church in advance, not retroactive. Now, Corey, talk to me. You make it very clear that it is actual expenses.
Right. So there's actually three parameters to a housing allowance. So one is the designation. It's the lowest of these three numbers that the minister gets to use.
Okay.
So the second one is actual expenses, and they need to track their expenses. This is going back to that 1921 Revenue Act that said, and it's an old law, the only thing you can't count is food and servants. Mm. You know, that's what it says. So, you know, track those utilities, track the, you know, you had to replace a table lamp. It's allowed, it's permitted. And, but you do need to keep documents, and that's on the pastor to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor does not submit that documentation to the church. The church is only responsible for the amount it designates. And that's where it ends from the church's responsibility standpoint.
All right. So you said the lowest of three. So you got the actual expenses, or you got a fair rental value.
Yes. Okay. So the last one, and this came about because of a law change in 2002, where you have to look at the fair rental value. Now, here's where it kind of breaks down between if a pastor is in a parsonage versus the pastor is owning or renting his own home.
Okay.
So in a parsonage, it's not the church's responsibility to do this, to determine the fair rental value of that home. Sometimes churches would like to do that so they can help the pastor and his family see what is your total compensation provided. But it's really on the pastor to determine that fair rental value, plus the utilities paid by the church on his behalf. That's the parsonage.
All right.
In the 1954 Act said, you know what, minister, you're not in parsonage, but you have your own home or you're renting. We'll let the church designate a portion of your compensation as housing allowance.
Okay.
That part then is subject to this third limitation of fair rental value. And what we like to use at Ministry CPA we'll go on Zillow or one of those kind of sites
that
typically will provide two numbers of value. One, it would be, what would this home rent for in that community? That's a helpful number. But also, their number, Zillow, for example, number does not include the fact that it's a furnished home.
Right.
And if the pastor would be renting his home exactly as is, he'd get another maybe $300-$400 a month for the fact that it's a furnished home. And then you can also add the actual cost of utilities. So that can be that number honestly rarely affects our clients in that that can be a pretty big number.
Yeah.
There's another method that says look at Zillow or one of those sites, fair market value. and then apply a percentage of the fair market value for an annual fair rental value. Hope that's not confusing.
So all right, so what you're saying, let's say the house is worth $300,000.
Right.
And you say, so what you're saying is 10 to 15% that's a fair market value.
Right.
No, excuse me. Fair rental value is 10% of that.
Right.
Okay, so that could be another formula you could use.
Right, and that plays in the years where a pastor says, okay, and foresees this happening. Okay, I got to replace my roof next year. It's going to cost me a good amount, well over what I've had in designations in past years. Okay. So he starts by saying, okay, church, please designate a higher amount next year for my designation.
Right.
But then he has to look at that fair rental value. And that's where often the fair rental value part of the three-part test comes in is, oops, even though I spent well over, say, $45,000, to use your example, 15% of 300, that's limited to the $45,000.
Okay. All right. So you got this laid out. We'll put it in the notes. But really, you got to take the lower of the three is what you're telling me, right? I hear that right?
Right. So the way it actually works is on the church is responsible to provide the pastor a W-2 form.
Right.
And there's two very important boxes on that form. Box one is reporting by the church to the IRS and the state the taxable portion of the pastor's compensation.
Right.
That does not include the portion that was designated as housing. It's a lower number.
Right.
We like to see, though, in box 14, which is a memorandum box, the computers don't do really anything with it at the IRS. We'd like to see the church, you know, maybe make a note, housing allowance, something like that. And then that amount, that's important to the pastor because when he prepares his tax return, let's say he was designated $20,000 toward housing. Of course, that was not reported as taxable income.
Correct.
But his actual expenses are only 15. He knows that he has to report that $5,000 of excess housing allowance back onto his tax return. So he's honest with his tax filings.
Yeah. All right. So in that perspective, all right, so let's just take the what if. So you just gave the description of the pastor estimated his housing allowance, which should be higher than the actual expenses, right? So it's a $5,000 difference. But isn't it better to go ahead and estimate high and then pay the difference than to estimate low and not be able to use it?
That's exactly right, Marsh, because if that minister actually spent, say, $22,000 and he only had a $20,000 designation, there's nothing he can do to get the benefit of that $2,000 extra.
Because it's not retroactive.
And they can't, good point.
Okay.
They can't go back and say, oops, should have designated a higher number. Men, can you do this retroactively? The answer is not according to the statutes.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's one of those things that as we look at it, and I've always been advised to, hey, make it higher and then pay the claim the difference in income, right, if you don't use it all. All right, so Corey, let me throw another wrench in here because a lot of our guys that listen either are approaching retirement. Let's say we have an older pastor whose house is paid off, still receiving full compensation from a church. So he does not have a mortgage. He doesn't have interest deductions or anything like that. So his housing allowance, paid off home, would be most likely his expenses except food and servants, right?
Right, right. A lower number, it's just the way it works that way. We certainly don't advise clients to, you know, have a big mortgage so that they can get the housing allowance.
Yeah.
It's pretty important to have that home paid off when they enter retirement, but it is the reality.
All right, so the reason I brought that up specifically because I know one person was advised if your house is paid off, okay, go get the fair rental value of a furnished house like yours, and that will give you your housing allowance. But that number was much higher than his actual expenses, right? So, I mean, in this case, it was higher. I'm not saying it would be in all cases. Mm-hmm. So, but you, if you do that, you still have to take the lower number. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
That's right. That's right. It's, it doesn't work that way.
Okay. But again, if you plan in advance and you got that roof replacement or new carpet or washing machine or dryer, or you got appliance, you know, you got some major expenses there. If you know they're coming, make sure you allow for that and then claim what you don't use versus letting that money go to waste. Right. Is that fair?
Right. Great. Oh yeah, most definitely. And totally okay. compliant with the statute.
All right. Now, you mentioned documentation. And you made it very firm that it's on the pastor to keep up with this.
Right.
All right, so documentation of, I go to Home Depot and I buy a refrigerator. Are you telling me I need to keep that receipt?
You need to keep that receipt, okay?
Okay.
It's pretty simple. Of course, you're talking to a CPA, so we do like to make sure that our clients have the documentation. You know, we rarely get called upon to answer to the IRS.
Yeah.
But,
okay. So if I even to go like to the gas station and gas for my lawnmower, right? Because that's part of the home expense. I just stick that receipt in my housing allowance file, right? I mean, so anything like that, hardware store, anything but food and what you're paying, if you're paying somebody to help clean the house, right?
Right. I mean, if we, you know, you buy light bulbs, it depends on how careful you want to be and, you know, how important it is to your situation. So, yes.
All right. So let me go to the next point. Is that clear? Do I need to clarify? Did I rush through that? You got anything else you want to say?
No, I think that's good. There's very, very rare situations. Probably in our 300 ministers, we maybe have 5 ministers in this situation where you can actually, this is the way we say it, overcook your housing allowance.
All right.
Where because the housing allowance reduces a minister's earned income, if that minister has several children in the home, some of the child tax credits are based on having earned income.
Oh, okay.
And so there's a rare situation where we'd say don't guess high, and maybe even don't have a housing allowance, don't request a housing allowance.
Okay.
You're under no obligation to request a housing allowance. So,
all right. So this is where
a little caution there.
Yeah, this is where a servant's worth of his hire. All right. So I'm just going to put it this way. This is where you can hire Corey Fafi or his firm, not so much him, but you can, you know, hire him as an advisor. We all have lawyers. We all have that. And I think this is where Corey and his company or someone like him can advise you on these tax credits, right? So, I mean,
right.
This is where you can become a client and this well worth your money. It's worth the investment in doing that. I don't have any kids in the home and all that. So, wow, that's a good one to think about. So what I'm trying to say is that could be one of the most common misunderstood things. Where we try to maximize a housing allowance, it may actually be hurting you, right, because of the tax credits that are now in place for children.
Right.
Okay. Right. All right, so let's go from that into, I think, make sure we understand. So the housing allowance reduces your taxable income, except now explain where Social Security is involved in this.
Right. And so I'm trying to save that last little nugget you're wanting me to talk about.
Oh, okay. All right. We can wait. As long as we don't, you know, that's good. We can wait. All right. So let me ask you another question. So what other common, I shouldn't say common, but you just brought up a huge issue with this child tax credit. Okay. Are there any other things like that, Corey, it'd be good to comment on right now like that?
One of the big advantages of the housing allowance, yes, I don't have to pay income tax on my housing allowance, but there's several side benefits that people just don't necessarily think about, and that is eligibility for some of the credits. Numbers of our churches have said in the past, we can't afford this $2,000-$3,000 a month health insurance policy, pastor. We're going to need to give you a taxable stipend and have you find your own. a lot of ministers then go on healthcare.gov and look at the various options on healthcare.gov, and they're looking for an advanced premium tax credit to reduce that monthly premium. And of course, they have to recalculate it at the end of the year. The housing allowance reduces their reportable income when they go to determine how much premium tax credit they can claim. That is money in their pocket for their health care. So that's one benefit.
Okay.
That's a nice benefit.
All right. So that's got to do. All right. So red flag should come up thinking health insurance, housing allowances involved, right?
Right.
Okay, good. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I recap that. All right. Go. What's the next one?
So while in some cases, having your housing allowance too high will hurt you from child tax credits, more often than not, it's actually helping you to gain some of those child tax credits. And there's some nuances to that would kind of take us down a different trail. But again, the housing allowance is helpful for some of that eligibility. And then maybe another one that seems like a number of ministers miss out on this one, and that is the retirement savings contribution credit. This is particularly important when there's no more children in the home and you're not getting child tax credits, but yet your income is lower because of a nice housing allowance. Okay. The retirement savings contribution credit allows you to claim a percentage of your retirement contribution as a credit right off of your federal income tax. Well, if your earnings are lower because of the housing allowance, now you're going to be eligible for, maybe become eligible for, or become eligible for a greater retirement savings contribution credit.
All right. So retirement savings contribution credit, is that, explain the difference between that and a Roth IRA.
So even a Roth IRA would qualify. Here's what Form 8880 that the Internal Revenue Service provides. And it says, if you make contributions where the money's taken out of your paycheck, or I'll use the word 403B, maybe familiar to most of our ministers.
All right,
so wait a
minute. You hit something, but the amount is taken out of your paycheck, right? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Right.
All right.
Right. So it shows up on your W-2 as having been taken out of your paycheck. So
all right.
Those are called elective deferrals out of your paycheck, 403B. Okay. Or you as a family make traditional IRA contributions, or you make Roth IRA contributions, those are eligible for that Form 8880. And then based on your income, there are percentages that might apply. They are up to 50% of your contribution to a Roth, to a traditional, or to a 403B that you had deducted from your ministry compensation.
All right. So now a lot of you guys just tuned out what he said, because you got into numbers and IRS and all that. So what I'm saying, even if you just tuned out what Corey just said, please understand these are the reasons you need to call someone like Corey and explain where you are so you can take full advantage of this. Does that make sense, Corey, what I just explained?
Right.
Yeah. Because what I'm saying is we get lost in Hebrew and Greek. You get lost in this kind of stuff. Okay, so what I'm saying is, guys, you don't have to know all of this. You need to know the resource of where to go. So what Corey just said, okay, here's another opportunity to be a better steward of the money God's giving you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sure. Is that a good way to put it?
Right, right.
Okay.
And some of it means you have to plan ahead, and work with your church to put this together in a way that is the best. And your church wants your compensation to stretch as far as it possibly can.
Sure. All right, so let me ask you this. I don't really know how to say this. I would even, if a deacon is listening, I would recommend, and let's say, because here's a lot of church situations we face. It's a smaller church. The church may have declined, and they have limited funds to be able to pay a pastor coming in. But they also don't, the pastor may not even be aware of tax credits available because of the children.
Right.
Right. So what I'm saying is, as you start planning a compensation package, deacons, elders, I think it's worth a call to make sure you're maximizing how are you going to present this to a pastoral candidate or to your pastor? Does that make sense, Corey?
Yes, yes. Okay. Good point.
So, again, Corey has people on staff. I'm sure you can, again, this is not simply ministrycpa.com advertisement. It's simply a way for you to be good stewards of what God's given you, deacons and elders, as you plan your budget and treasures, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. Because there are so many challenges that we're finding with younger pastors with children trying to go in and take smaller churches to help them. And the finances, of course, have a lot to do with it. So it's important.
Right.
All right.
Honestly, it also happens on the other side where, you know, a pastor has been in that church for many years and blessed those people. And those people want to bless him as he retires. And so there's this severance desire.
Yeah.
And so planning that wisely. So as the pastor enters retirement, starts taking those distributions from his 403b retirement plan, begins taking Social Security, there's some definite wise stewardship available there to that deacon board, to the elders, to really bless their pastor.
Yeah. All right. So this is, I'm throwing you a curveball here. Okay.
Right.
So just get ready. And I do this in every podcast. All right. This isn't just for Corey. I mean, here's where I find a lot of pastors, and I just want to have you respond. A lot of men bought into opting out of Social Security. They're 3 years away from retirement. They did get in 40 quarters or whatever. Their right. wife may be in for a little bit of money. And all of a sudden they realize, I'm in trouble.
Right.
All right. So, again, would it be fair to say that just they could – call you for a consult, and again, I'm saying hire you to give them some advice? Or do you do that, or would you recommend that back to a personal financial advisor?
Honestly, we end up working with the financial advisors on kind of thinking through what these options Sometimes it's with their insurance agents as well, even their attorneys, for the sake of, you know, what does their will look like, and some of those matters. But there are definitely things that can be done in those situations. It's not good, but we'll, like, depending again on the situation, maybe it's that minister is going to plan to continue to serve. You know, he's 62 and he's saying, I believe by God's grace and his good health, I'd like to continue till even 75 if the Lord were to allow that. Then there's some strategies there where he starts taking Social Security, even though it's a little bit, but he doesn't really need it because the church is providing for him, but he takes it anyway, and then has a bunch of that put into a retirement plan.
There you go.
Which is smarter in the way it's treated once he does start drawing.
All right, so I keep throwing these out for you to make, you know, sometimes we don't know what we don't know, okay?
Sure.
And that's when we're in trouble, where we don't know what we don't know. Okay, so I keep throwing these out and hit you with that because that was just another area. So I keep going back, you know, men, as pastors, we use commentaries, we use helps. Okay, so you got to think of someone to do your will and somebody like Corey and these people as, you know, the resources that God has allowed us. These are men with gifts, and we need to make sure we're using that because we need to be the best stewards with the money and time that we have. All right. Okay, Corey, what have I left out? I mean, what did I not cover? So what would you say the most confusing and the most misunderstood or the most mistakes? Help us here to run with that.
Right. And these mistakes can be very costly, and they can be multi-year mistakes.
Mm.
So here's some of the challenge. Whatever the minister is going to do, if he's going to go with a professional to help him, that professional must understand ministerial tax.
Yes.
One of the biggest, costliest things we see is that the tax professional, or using your own software and you don't check the right boxes, is that housing allowance is subject to Social Security tax.
Can you repeat
income tax?
Yeah. Repeat that again.
That housing allowance is subject to the 15.3% self-employment tax.
Right. Okay.
Just like the cash compensation is, that's subject, not income tax.
Right. Okay.
That's a big one.
Keep going. I just wanted to park right there a minute. Okay.
Right. So, I mean, imagine a minister who has a $20,000 housing allowance and doesn't recognize that that's subject to Social Security tax, or his professional doesn't recognize that. Well, you take 15% of $20,000, that's $3,000 extra per year.
Yeah.
And that's a big ouch.
Yeah. Yep.
Further, it's actually beneficial. In some respects, it's beneficial that it's subject to Social Security tax, because that's part of your calculation for your eventual retirement benefits.
Right. Okay. So it's important to hear all that. And I personally have met men, and they say, I did not realize this. And all of a sudden they get hit with a $20,000-$30,000 bill from the IRS. And what do? You know, because, I mean, you can't plead ignorance to the IRS, you know.
Right.
Okay. Other misunderstood mistakes, whatever you want to address.
Yes. One of them that we see is going on healthcare.gov. Okay. So we do see a number of church family or pastor families where maybe the children are eligible for some state programs. Wisconsin, we have Badger Care. Every state has a program like that. And with the housing allowance, often the kids will qualify for those programs. Generally, pretty good satisfaction among our pastor clients with those. Mm-hmm. But then the pastor and his wife go on the exchange and get their policy.
Right.
They indicate their earnings. They get a nice advanced premium tax credit. But then, wife starts working in the local Christian school in September. And all of a sudden, their income is higher than they initially reported way back the previous November, December. And they get slapped with a big repayment of that advanced premium tax credit when they file their tax return.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to put out a plea here. Deacons, elders, treasurers, officers in the church, I would put out a plea for you to budget for someone like Corey Fafi, ministry CPA, someone like him, to walk through with your church staff to make sure that they're doing it right. Because, I mean, I know how many young pastors, Corey, they are geeks, right? They got all the computer stuff, and they're using Quicken or QuickBooks or whatever and just filing online without thinking through some of these, some of the things you've mentioned for the last, 30 minutes here, and it's costing them money. Is that a too broad a statement to say it that way?
Well, and if you click the right boxes on some of those online tax softwares, they'll get it right. What they don't provide you is thinking ahead, planning ahead, arranging things in a way that a software cannot do for you. So that's where working with your deacons, your elders, and arranging your package, if you want to put it that way, in a tax-wise way, that's where the real value comes in of working with someone who does understand ministerial tax.
All right. So that's what I was just going to emphasize here. Okay. So there are, we all have some wonderful friends that are CPA. So don't get me wrong. This is not, but a minister, a CPA that understands pastoral and church finances is different from the corporate CPA, right? I mean, we all have our specialty. Is that fair to say it that way, Corey?
It is.
Okay. All right. And again, it all under the umbrella of stewardship. Okay. Because I'm, as pastors, you're working with limited funds to begin with, and we need to make sure we take every advantage of it. And now, I don't think we want, we serve the Lord. He knows everything. So, I mean, we don't want to deceive what we're reporting, but also we want to make sure we're being good stewards of what God's given us to make sure we can take advantage of everything that the IRS allows us to take advantage of.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So, thanks for your time. Further comments, anything, How would you put a wrap on this, Corey? If it's possible for everything I've thrown at you, how would you wrap it up?
I would say that it's really helpful for, I'm a deacon. I'm a deacon at my church. Okay. It's really helpful for lay leaders like the deacons to learn some of these things as well.
Yeah.
And so that they can serve the pastor's family. Every pastor has different, you know, really strong gifts and areas that they're weaker. You can serve your pastor in these areas as well.
Good. That's well said. Okay. So not only pastors, but let me say this, pastors, you have to initiate this. I mean, I don't think, because I know deacons are wearing so many hats and they're so busy. And so what I'm saying, but pastors, you're the one that's going to sit before the IRS if you get audited, and you're the one that's going to stand before the Lord for being a good steward of the resources God's given you. So I think it's up to you to take the initiative to do this and enlist your deacons or elders or staff to help you.
Right.
Okay. Corey Fafi, Ministry CPA. You know, again, I know Corey, I know the references, some situations I've sent to him. And I just thank you, because I mean, some of the church situations that people got into unknowingly, they had no idea of the past history of the church. I promise you, Corey has been a great resource to unpack that. Now, please understand, this is not an advertisement for them, but part of this podcast is equipping churches so they can do the work of the ministry. And Corey or someone like him should be in your, you know, we used to call it a Rolodex. That is an unheard of name now, but right. Needs to be in your contact list is better. Okay. In your contact file, to go as a resource. So Corey, again, thank you for your ministry and thank you for the time today and really appreciate it. I will put Corey's notes in the show notes on the, web on the podcast site. But I'm sure also you can reach out to him. Now I'm going to say this as a warning. Pastors, he is a servant, but a servant's worth of his hire. So I'm going to ask you as a listener to our podcast, do not call Ministry CPA or any other CPA and just expect, I'm a pastor, they ought to give it to me for free. No, that's wrong. God does not honor that. So let's honor those that help support us to be good stewards. So, Corey, was that too bold in saying it the way I did? Did I say that wrong?
Honestly, we love to serve.
There
are a couple of resources I would say that they're free and are available to anybody that wants to access them at ministry.cpa. One is a housing allowance worksheet.
Okay.
That spells out a few of these things. It's a fillable PDF under our tax, our forms organizers. The other is called a financial health questionnaire, and it's really for self-examination for your family to look at a myriad areas. We're not attorneys. We're not insurance people.
Right.
We're not investment advisors, but we know about those issues. That could be an eye-opener.
Amen.
Right there. So a couple of resources, free resources on our website.
Yep. Okay. All right. And we'll post those as well. All right, Corey Fafi, Ministry CPA, good friend in Wisconsin. I'm sure you love the summers there, and I would too, but come the wintertime, I'm going to stay in South Carolina. But anyway, hope your golf game is good, and look forward to playing with you sometime soon. Okay, thanks, Corey.
Thank you, Marsh.
You're listening to ReChurch, a podcast of Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. If you would like more information about our ministry or how we may assist you and your church, visit us at gfamissions.org/consulting.